Welcome back to Jazzy's Talks, and today's episode we'll be talking about a serial killer named Pedro Lopez. Well, he's one of the highest known serial killers. And on today's episode, I have a special guest. Oh, I have actually two special guests that will be in the episode today, and I have
Audrey,
and I also have
Alex.
And so, we're just gonna go like a little rundown, a little. You know, we'll do early life and, you know, murder thing and just a little background on himself. And then we'll also talk about, you know, what he's done and shit like that. So, you know, his killings didn't just happen in Colombia, which some were in Colombia, but he also had murders in Peru and Ecuador. So, sorry that I feel like I'm talking out of breath. It just feels like I'm just trying to talk, you know. So, with Pedro, he was a child murderer and a rapist known as the Monster of the Andes. And he targeted young girls between the ages of 8 to 12. And, you know, he was born October 8, 1948. And, you know, he's not just a serial killer in Colombia. Like I said, he's done killings in Peru and Ecuador. But he was sentenced for killing 110 girls, but who claimed to have raped and killed more than 300 girls across Colombia, Peru, and Ecuador. So, with that, it's not... I want to say that it was 300 to 350 girls, not just 300 on the dot. So, aside from unsighted local accounts, Lopez's crimes first received international attention from an interview conducted by Ron Leitner, a longtime freelance photojournalist who reported interviewing Lopez in his Ambaitano prison cell. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but prison cell in the 1980s. And with that, that's when Pedro would first be confessing to more than his 110 murders that he has done. So, you know, despite being believed to be one of the most profanic serial killers of the 20th century, he was released in the 1990s doing a 16-year sentence because I guess back then they didn't do how we have it now where you're doing, you know, 20 years to life or, you know, life without the possibility of parole. Back then, they didn't do it like that. They did it where, you know, you're going to get sentenced this amount of time and you will be released, you know. So, we're just going to do like a little early life on him right now. So, Audrey will be explaining that more about that right now.
Okay. In his early life, Lopez's mother was a prostitute named Benelita Lopez de Castaneda. According to Lopez, witnesses acts of prostitution while growing up, they had disturbing effects on his psyche. His mother caught him fondling his younger sister in 1957. When he was 8 years old and evicted him from the family. Following this, Lopez fled to the Colombia's capital city. He says he was picked up by a man taken to a deserted house and repeatedly sodomized. At age 12, he was taken in by an American family and enrolled in a school for orphans. He ran away after 2 years because he was allegedly molested by a male teacher. And account says he ran away with a teacher at 18. He stole cars for a living and sold the cars to local, like, chop shops.
You would say, yeah. So, with that, you know, he didn't have a great, you know, background story as he was a kid because his mother did kick him out at 8 years old for playing with his sister's breast, I believe that was said. So, with that, you know, being kicked out at 8 years old and having to live on the street, I don't think, you know, you're still a kid. You don't know all this thing. And then to be raped. He was picked up from the streets, like Audrey said, and was continuously raped then. So, just being raped as a young kid and having that in the mindset, I mean, it's I'm not trying to sit there and back him up, but I mean, it's you are pretty much fucked in the head, if you would say so. And then Alex will be finishing, or she'll be telling you more about his murders and stuff.
Okay, guys. So during Lopez's incarceration for car theft, Lopez claimed he was brutally gang raped and that he hunted down the rapists that and killed them, the most brutal, while still in prison. He said that after his jail term, he started murdering young girls in Peru. He claimed that by 1978, he had killed over 100 of them and that he had been caught by a native tribe. They were actually preparing to execute him, but this Christian ministry was like there, and they intervened and tried. Basically, they persuaded the tribe to let him go to the police. Once he was released to the police, he was then released completely out of their care. And so every like week he was killing at least 3 girls. But his quote unquote was, "I like the girls in Ecuador. They are more gentle and trusting, more innocent." So basically, I mean, I don't really know. It's just something that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and we can't really get into the minds of others. You know, there's so much stuff that goes on in one person's head, and it's just not right for the victims as well, or their families. You know, it's just a fucked up situation overall.
And what's also sickening, I believe, is whenever he was given that interview with, what's his name? I just said it. With Ron Lettner. That being, like, during that whole interview, he would sit there and smile. And, you know, I just felt like that just made me sick to my stomach. Because you killing, you know, innocent people who have their own lives, who are kids, who have, you know, more to, you know, to become. And, you know, they weren't even able to do that. And you smiling and, you know, laughing and feeling like this is all a joke, and because you want some, you want to be known, like that's a no to me. That's just any type of murder, rape, all that. No, I don't know. But exactly, he just wanted his name to be out there and shit, like that's just no. So according to the BBC, Lopez was arrested in 1980, but was freed by the government in Ecuador at the end of the 1988. An interview from the prison cell, Lopez described himself as the man of the century. Like I was saying, he would smile and, you know, laugh about it like if it was some type of joke, and he just wanted his name to be out there, I guess. And it was said that he was being released for good behavior, and he was also released from the Ecuadorian prison on the 31st of August 1994, then rearrested as an illegal immigrant and handed over to the Colombian authorities. So like Alex was saying, whenever they switched off, he was supposed to go over there, but I guess he didn't even, I don't even know if they did anything with him, because from one thing I've heard that that's whenever he had the chance to do more killings then. So, the Colombian authorities, who charged him with a 20-year-old murder, he was declared insane and held in a psychiatric wing of the Bogota Hospital. In 1988, he was declared sane and, he was released on a $50 bill, but subject to certain conditions, he later absented. So, I mean, this is just, I don't know, this is something, you know, nobody wants to talk about, like, again, like Alex said, but here we are, because
who else is going to talk about it?
Exactly. And, I mean, it's not something that, you know, people want to, you know, hear, or families who are, you know, traumatized by this and who've been in this, you know, who've dealt with this and are still dealing with this, my condolences to all y'all, really, because that's just, no. And, you know, what I've heard is that he would take his, he would take the little girls to something that he's already prepared. Like, he's already prepared their grave, and, you know, he would rape them and choke them, and sometimes he would choke them until their eye sockets popped out, and then, you know, do what he did. But this one girl was really lucky because her mom seen him walking off hand in hand with the little girl, and she screamed. I mean, who wouldn't? Yeah, exactly. And to see somebody you don't even know holding your daughter's hand, no, that would have been all war right there. Like, you must be out your mind. So, I mean, I don't know.
And it's just more too, guys, like, there's so much shit going on. Like, I feel like this podcast in particular is more like you're also aware of different things. You know, you need to be aware of your surroundings, and shit like this does happen in our world. Like, you need to hold your children closer and, you know, watch them, pay more attention. You know, I'm not saying, you know, don't give them their space, you know, teens and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, still, you know what's going on and be aware of different things.
Exactly, because this is, even if it's happening back then, it's still happening now. There's still murders going around, rapes going around, and, you know, it's just crazy that we live in a world like this, but it's real life, you know, and it's sad. Yeah, so, I mean, yes, this podcast is something like that, and it's hard to talk about that, even, you know, being the podcaster talking about this shit, because it does make you, you know, sick, but it's something that I do talk about, and it's something that interests me in a way, because it makes me more aware of, you know, things like this, and, you know, what's going on. And I feel like I want to get at the bottom of everything too, because there are unsolved cases that still haven't been solved to this day that's happened years ago, like 20-30 years ago. And that's something that I want to get into, because maybe they've missed something this, or, you know, and every day it's a whole new different thing, you know. So it's just, so, but I do want to say my condolences to all the families out there who have to still deal with this person. And, you know, it's something that's never gonna go away. It is traumatizing, you know, but I am, my condolences to all y'all, really, because 110 are solved, and there's led to be exactly to 240 more that have yet to been even exactly. So, I mean, there's still kids out there who are still missing, and, you know, there's hopes to finding y'all and finding the kids and stuff like that. So, yep. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I hope y'all do stay tuned, and, you know, I will be talking about more about serial killers and unsolved mysteries. This is just one of the ones I have saw today while I was reading up on the documentary, and I thought I'd just, you know, talk about it a little bit. Audrey wanted to give a little bit of feedback, and so did Alex. So, you know, I thank y'all for being on the podcast today, and, you know, hopes to for them to be on the next future ones. And you know, y'all just keep aware of y'all surroundings, y'all stay safe to family. You know, and if you're dealing with stuff out there right now, you know, there's always something. Y'all could always reach out. I'm always, you know, here for an ear or here to be there. So, y'all need ever want somebody to talk to or going through anything, you know, y'all just let me know. And just know that there's always somebody that's going to be there for y'all. Even if y'all feel y'all don't have nobody, there's always somebody. So, anyways, y'all stay safe, guys. And stay tuned for more. And yeah.